Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Zayin, and we're holding at the Mishnah right at the bottom of daf Kuf Vav Amud Beit. Yoshav Echad Ala Petach V'lo Milu. We're in the middle of discussing what the din would be of a deer that walks into the house and somebody slams the door. We talked about what if two people move the door together. Now we get to the other question, where if a single person sat at that door, and then he did not fully close that door until the second guy sits down next to him, and that's the only thing that prevents that deer from escaping, so then it's the second guy that's chayav, hasheni chayav. But how about if the first guy actually fills up the entire doorway, and now another guy comes along and sits down by his side, and now he is basically facing the other guy, they're both filling up the doorway. So Alpha Pisha Amad Harishon Vahalachlo, if the first guy gets up and leaves, in that case, the second guy didn't do anything. It's only going to be the Rishon that's Chayev, and the Sheni will be Patur. Why? Because if the Tzvi was already nitzod by the Rishon and had never gotten out, so then it would be the same as Olamaze Dome, L'no'el et habayit l'shomro, v'nimtzash Tzvi Shomur betocho. There was already a tzvi that had been locked up in this house. So because of that, if you lock the door again, that is not going to be the act of tzedah. Same thing is true over here. The fact that the first guy leaves doesn't change anything. What's the difference between the two cases? So Torah says the difference between when you're saying Lamaz Adoma, you obviously have to be explaining something a little bit. So Torah says, I'm explaining a little bit because if the second guy sits down, it's more similar to a case because it certainly looks like he's sitting there in order to make sure that that tzvi isn't going to get out. So in that case, you might think that maybe because he's adding, or it looks like he's adding shmira, that he would be chayiv. Kamash Malan, look, it's no different than closing another lock on the door. Basically, the tzvi is already nitzot. Okay, says the Gemara, if a guy is sitting down, calmly minding his business in a park, and a pigeon finds its way underneath his coat. So he doesn't have to get up. He can be yoshevu mishamro achitei chashech. He can keep his pigeon locked under his coat and allow it to remain there until he takes it after Shabbos. Moser Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak, isn't that the case of the Mishnah? Yashav HaRishon Ala Petach Umiluhu. Basically, if the tzvi was already closed in the house and another guy comes along and sits down, even though the other guy leaves, he is going to be part of the second guy. But the problem is, I mean, the same case. The tzvi, so to speak, in this case, the bird, found its way underneath your coat all on its own. All you're doing is you're basically letting it stay there, right? And that's the case in the Mishnah. Like being Mr. Second Guy who closed. The problem is that when the Mishnah says that, it says that you're putter. It doesn't say you're allowed to. Putter usually means you're not chayiv on anything, but it's mashman that there's an issur d'rabbanan. And you're claiming that you're allowed to just sit there and be mishamro ad shetech hashech. So when it says putter, my love, putter aval asur, right? No. Actually, it means potter, and you're even allowed to do this lechatchila. Why are you allowed to do it lechatchila? Well, take a look in the Mishnah itself, why I say that. The Mishnah says, ha-lamaze domeh. What's the point, lamaze domeh? Lo-noel et-abayit l'shomro, v'nim tzvi shomur betochot. I mean, if you say that, it's clear. Nobody's going to tell me that locking the door is going to be a bigger iser than closing the door. So the point over here would be that it is potter and mutter. Shema mina, then indeed that is the whole point that the Mishnah is making. I'm not doing anything whatsoever. Some report this a little bit different, but it boils down to the same thing. In this version, Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak was trying to bring a raya from the Mishnah. So Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak said, Afana nami tenina, doesn't it say that afa pishamada rishon v'holech lo harishon chayav sheni patur? And I'm assuming that potter means potter and mutter. And we tried to tell him, no, maybe it means potter and it's usher. So you wouldn't be allowed to sit there with the birdie under your coat. And in this version, he, Reb Nachmanayotu, responded, "Homidiktani sefer lamaze domel noel peto l'shomra v'nimtas tzvi shomur betocho." Michlal the Potter Mutter was he who responded with that raya that it's Potter Mutter, and indeed we accept that Shema Amina. But it's the same, basically the same idea. Now, as we had back at the beginning, very beginning of the Masechet, we had this discussion because Omer Shmuel ko patur eidah Shabbat, patur aval asur. Levar mihanitlat the patur umutar. It's very true that normally when it says patur in Shabbos, it means patur, but there's an iser d'rabbanan. This, you recall, we brought in to discuss the halacha in the opening Mishnah about whether the Baal HaBayit, in the case that the Oni put it into his hand or vice versa, whether it's mutter, whether it's patur. Anyway, so we brought this mimer of it, Shmuel, who says that wherever it says potter, it always means potter and usr. There's only three cases where it means potter and mutter. And where is that? One is this case that we just had. Well, I was scared that Jeff had gone away. He's here. Whew. So where would that be? The case over here about the little birdie, which we've translated from our Mishnah as meaning lechatchila. It's no issue whatsoever for Mr. Number One who gets up for Mr. Number Two to allow himself to continue sitting there, any different than it would be, any more than it would be us if you to stay with your coat on the ground because the pigeon found its way under. It's completely mutter. That's case number one. And chadahu, and how do we know? And indeed, we pointed out in Shmuel's Maimer, how do we know that that case is patur mutter? Because that's the Tosefet of the Mishnah, the Tani Seifa. Lamazed domeh. Okay. The other case is Ve'idach ha'nefis mursa b'shabbat. So somebody has a blister that's full of pus, driving him crazy. And so he takes a needle, makes a hole in this blister on Shabbat. So im la'asot la'peh chayav. So if he wanted to make it a permanent drain, permanent meaning until it heals, so then that would be mamish, a opening which is for permanent usage, and that's a real petach. So then he would be chayev, if you hold a malach shem zricha l'gofes chayev. Im lo hotzi mimena lecha, but if all he wants to do is momentarily open up the skin to allow whatever pus is in there to escape, he's not going to insert a drain or make certain that it's big enough to remain open to allow long-term drainage, so then he would be putter, and it says beferish over there that it would be mutter. How do we know that it means mutter? We know that from the Mishnah. It's not. You're allowed to take a sewing needle on Shabbos, machachol yad, litolba et hakotz. So if you're going to remove a splinter utilizing a needle, so then that is apparently mutter here, it says the chatchila, because it says you're allowed to pick up the sewing needle in order to do that. Then if that's the case, then you would be allowed to do it in the same way, the same exact chashash to remove the splinter as it is to remove the liquid that's inside of that blister. It says here the chatchila. By the way, the only reason it mentions a sewing needle as opposed to something else is because over there we're talking about different types of needles. And it talks about the large needle, like a knitting needle. You're allowed to move a knitting needle in order to pick a lock. Anyway, so it mentions a sewing needle. I mean, that's important, particularly what kind of needle you're going to use to make the hole. Anyway, but you see over there that that becomes something that's not mukta because it's a lechatchila usage. And because of that, obviously, it must be mutra over here too. The third case, which we say, even though it says the word potter, it means it's mutter lechatchila, is the case of a guy who wants to avoid being bitten by a snake. Now, this snake is not dangerous to his life. Well, obviously, I mean, you do whatever you need to do if you are in danger. Talking about over here, you just don't like getting bitten by a snake. So he wants to go ahead and he wants to put a bowl over the snake. So atzad nachash b'shabbat, imitasek bo shelo yishkenu. If the whole point is over here to avoid getting bitten, then that's not considered to be an act of tzedah because it would be a malach shen tzricha l'gufa. I don't need this thing. I just need him not to get out. So then he would be potter. If this guy is milking the snake. In other words, he wants to get the venom from the snake and is there for a refuah, then he would be chayev. And how do I know that it's pater umutter over there? It's not. I mean, they're just as pater. It's not kofin kara la ner. Bishvil shalot echoz bekora. V'al tsoa shal katan. V'al akrav shalot ishach. Because remember that we had in the Mishnah earlier that you're allowed to take a bowl, a porcelain bowl, an earthenware bowl, and put it over a burning candle. Obviously, it doesn't mean you can put it over and put the candle out, but you can put it between the candle and the ceiling where it started to get hot on the ceiling and you're worried that it's going to burst into flames. So you're allowed to cover up, allowing, of course, enough air for the candle to continue burning. But you can move that over there. The issue was, remember we had earlier, the question about whether you're allowed to move something which is not muktzah for the purposes of something which is muktzah. Anyway, so that it came up in that circuit. Okay, so it says over there you can do that. You can also take a bowl and use it to cover anything that dropped out of a child's diaper, and you can use it to cover a scorpion in order to make certain that it won't bite you. And obviously that's going to be trapping the scorpion, but it doesn't matter because it's a malach shenitzrich l'guf, and there should be no problem in doing that, according to Rabbi Shimon. We'll see that there's big questions about how to fit the Mishnayos into Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to be discussing that later on. Hadron alacha oreg, dear Richie. Hadron alacha oreg, dear Richie. Hadron alacha, uh-oh, we got a problem. Our capitan is out to sea. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, I got messed up with the controls.
Okay. Very good. I mean, if you would have been in your boat at this point, it might have been really dangerous getting messed up with the controls. I mean, you're like those women who press on the accelerator instead of the brake.
I was just about to head off, and I just got a thing that they...
Hadron, let's try it again, then. Hadron alach oreg.
Bli neder. Funtin de helike perek.
All right, so we move on from oreg directly into the particular dinim of what type of things would be included in the idea of tzedah. And, of course, because we had the Orot Elim Odamim, we also get to the very next thing. Because we're going to trap these things, we are going to have to also remove their hides, which involves shechting them. And that's going to lead to the question of, what do we do about Netilat Neshama? Now, Netilat Neshama, which is one of the issues of Shechita, the question over there would be, bruising. What is the deal about bruising? Now, what bruising represents is actually breaking capillaries, allowing blood to escape, and that blood is never reabsorbed into the capillaries themselves. It's no longer going to be useful blood, even though it breaks up afterwards. And so in that sense, you could say that it is a netilat neshama. So, this is the same way that taking a little blood out of the body is netilat neshama. Taking blood and storing it inside the body, outside of the circulatory system, is also netilat neshama. So here we get into a really curious kind of situation. There are all types of organisms where the possibility of removing blood in such a way that it will remain an internal bleed and not actually puncture anything on the surface is not really possible, because you have things where the covering that passes for a hide is not really a hide. It's a very thin, soft skin, which if it were affected indeed in such a way that I broke the blood vessels under it, then it actually would have cracked the skin, so-called skin, and it would have come out. Now, we know that the Torah is metame nevela. And in the context of being Metame Nevela, it talks also about Eila Hatmeim Lachem Bechol Hasheretz Kol Anogea Ben Bomotam Yitma Ad Ha'aref. Now, the thing is that any Nevela is only Metame if it's actually the Busser of Nevela. But the horns, the skin, and things that in general are not considered to be Busser are not going to be Metame Be Nevela. So here we get an interesting question. It appears from the pasuk that the Torah is not including the skin of at least some of these shratzim. The Torah is not including in the din of the tuma of the nevelas, because skin is not included in tumas nevelas. And if we consider the implications of that, that some of the shratzim are metame tumas nevelas even on the skin, then we would assume that the reason would be is that, look, I mean, shratzim, remember, do not have any kind of English equivalent. I mean, what is a sheretz in English? I mean, a sheretz can include mammals, rodents, all types of insects, right? Maybe even crustaceans. Oh, no, it depends how we define these various medium over here. And they're all included in the general term that the Torah uses for things that lay low on the ground and slither around, close to the ground, right? So, I mean, even a rat could be called a sheretz in this case, but so could a spider, so could a scorpion. So now the question of the different types of things that pass for skins is going to be possibly part of our discussion over here. So we've got things with exoskeletons, they don't have the entire internal structure that we're used to describing. That may be different bichlal in how we relate to them in terms of shechita, netilat neshama, or some even learn it's a question of dyeing the skin if you make a bruise on the skin, according to some of the Rishonim. The reason for all of that, that everybody is so worried about this, is because what exactly the issue is, because it is not at all clear why it could possibly be a malacha tzricha legufa to make a chabura in an animal, which is an internal bruise. I mean, what in the world would you get out of that? I mean, so that's what pushes some to learn. It's actually a question of tzvi'ah, of dyeing the skin, so to speak, so it would be able to have those marks on it subsequently. Okay, that's something we'll get into right now in the Malchokas, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda. But in any event, what's fascinating is like this. This is all by way of introduction, is that we have two sugyas that are interrelated. The sugya of Shabbos, where we're going to have the question of what constitutes a chabura, would only be something where the blood can actually be contained within the body, under the skin, even though it still is completely outside of the circulatory system. And that would be considered to be a chabura, which is a netilat neshama, and therefore would be a tolda year of Shemitah. But that same issue comes to the fore, again, in the relationship between Shabbos and Tuma, in Tuma. Why? Because since the posik is memayit from the din of tumas nevelos, all of those things that are not considered to be part of the edible nevela, on a species where the skin is a thin covering, in the same way that thin covering is not going to be sufficient to be able to be machzik the dam, to be tsorer the dam, without breaking, it's also not sufficiently different from the busser to be considered a hide, or doesn't mean skin really. It's not just an epidermis. It's a hide. And a hide on many of these species simply doesn't exist. It just has this thin layer, which is just as edible if you're into eating lizards or whatever. It's just as edible as the rest of the meat, in which case it ought to be tame mishum nevela as well. So let's take a look at, now that we know that the two sugyas are interrelated, let's take a look at the machlokas in Chulin. We have a three-way machlokas over there about which things would have the type of skin that would be metame b'nevela. This is based to some extent on the pasuk. Let's understand the pasuk first. The pasuk goes like this. V'zelachem hatame b'sheretz hashoretz ala aretz. So after the opening pasuk that says that these shratzim are metame ala tmeim lachem, it lists eight different types of these shratzim. A curious mixture of insects and reptiles and rodents. It depends how we understand all of them. So it lists them like this. The first pasuk says, Hacholet v'ha'achbar v'hatzav limineu. So that closes one group of three things, Choled, Achbar, and Tzav. Again, what these things are is not clear, what the cholet is. It seems, as some say, it's a weasel. And the achbar is a mouse, maybe a rat. And the tzav, even though today we use it to mean a turtle, seems to be some type of toad. Okay, but in any event, the identification is not what's important to us right now. It's the fact that the Torah distinguishes between the first three, which it says lemineu, and then it continues on to say that a separate pasuk, which is v'ha'anaka, v'ha'koach, v'ha'lita'a, v'ha'chomet, v'ha'tinshamet, eile ha'tmeim lachem, b'chol ha'sheretz. Kol ha'nogeyam b'mimotam, yitma ad ha'aret. So now we darshan like this. The eile ha'tmeim lachem, we see as referring to the five that are listed in the second pasuk, as because it says hatmeim, and Eila is a miut. So we say, okay, so then that means five of them, the last five, this is the way we come out, if we, even though the Mishnah doesn't say this, we change the Lashon of the Mishnah and the Gemara there. So the last five are considered to be, in fact, hatmeim lachem b'chol ha'sheretz. Mashenken, there's a difference between the anakah koach v'letav ha'chomet and these. What are these things? Again, it isn't clear. So the anaka usually is translated as a porcupine, and the koach is maybe a chameleon, and the lita'a always is called a lizard, but particularly what type of lizard isn't clear, and the chomet is a snail, and the tinchamet is maybe a mole. It's probably the most likely. Okay, as you can see, again, it's like completely mixed in terms of species. So now let's take a look over here. There's a machlokas there between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and between the Chachamim and between Rabbi Yehuda. Now it turns out that Rabbi Yehuda says everything depends on how you analyze the thickness of the skin. And he ignores the way that the pasuk splits it up into three and five. And he actually splits it up according to whether the skin is hide-like skin or just membranous-like skin. Fine, that's his shita. The Chachamim, they say, well, no, the pasuk is distinguishing between one group and another group, which are metame and which are not metame, as we'll see. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says any of them are considered to have a hide. So now we'll get to our Mishnah and we'll see why this is so nogea, the Mishnah in Chulin. Shmoni shratzim ha'amurim b'Torah. So we have all eight of the shratzim. The din is like this. If you trap them, or if you will bruise them on Shabbos, so then you will be chayev, just like on other things that have skin, which if you bruise, you would be chayev. But shar shkatzim v'rimasim, other things that are low on the ground that are not included in the shmona shratzim, and that's obviously millions of different species would be included in that, hachovel behem patur. So you could have the scorpion that we had before, or snakes, or all different kinds of worms, whatever. All of those things you would be considered to be potter. And if you were chovabam, because they're not considered to have a skin, and if you trap them and you need them for something, so then you would be chayev. If you don't need them, so then you would be potter, because apparently we're going over here, alibi de Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon also Malach Shem Tzrich LeGufa is part. The Rabbeinu Tam takes out of the Girsa of Rashi the idea that Ein Beminam Nitzot, which completely confuses the issue. It seems to make no sense. There are those who try to explain what Rashi is saying. Let's assume that it's purely a question of Malach Shem Tzrich LeGufa. Now, if you have something that have already been trapped and you are keeping them in your under your own rishus, Chayav Osh Bereshuto, so then now when you go and you pick them up, you're potter. But if you're chovel behem, if you bruise them, then indeed you would be chayiv, because those things do have what we would call a hide as opposed to a membranous skin. Now, says the Gemara, if the Mishnah says that hachovel behem chayav of any of the shmona shratzim, apparently it's saying that they all have hides, right? Because otherwise you cannot create what is called a chavola without having a hide that is going to be able to be bruised, because it's only that which allows us to distinguish between internal bleeding and external bleeding. If, however, you would actually take blood from anything, of course you would be chayev. What we're talking about over here is hachovel in bruising specifically. So that means that our Mishnah is saying straight out, all of the shmona shratzim are considered to have hides. Who is the Tana in Chulin that would hold that about the Shmona Shvatz? Omar Shmuel, that's got to be going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was the one who said in Chulin that Shmona Shvatzim Yesh Lehem Orot, all of the Shmona Shvatzim are considered to have hides, and because of that, the skin will not be Matami, apparently. So that means that they are all thick skin and not included in Basar, which the Torah stresses is essential for Tumas and Avelas. That skin is not Basar. Rabba Ravuna Amarav says, you're confusing the two sugyas. The sugya in Shabbat has to do with the physical properties of the skin. The sugya in Chulin about Tumah has nothing to do with the physical properties of the skin. And it would be going even according to the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan over there who say that some of the Shmona Shvatzim are not considered to have real hide, and therefore their skin will be metame because it's more membrane like a basar. They were only arguing b'nogeya tuma. Adkan lo pligi rabbanan le Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ala legabi tuma. Because that's because of the pasuk. The pasuk stresses eile hatmeim lachem. So that comes to include which ones? L'rabocha or atem ki v'saran. So that comes to include the ones where the actual skin is so thin that it's considered to be basar. But le'inyan Shabbat, rabbanan ameida. I mean, that has nothing to do with that. It's a gezirat ha-katuv, basically. That the Rabbanan could say that all Shmona Shvatzim have skins legabe the din of Shabbos. They only said that the Torah specified that Eila Tmeim Lachem, and that means that the ones that I just mentioned, there's a difference between Eila and the Hashratzim. That's the difference. And the Eila is referring to the ones in the second pasuk, which are the five. And that means there's a difference between the ones listed in the first pasuk, because the ones in the first pasuk end with the word liminehu, and that separates them. So then that means that the ones in the second pasuk, the anakah and the koach and the matan, so on and so forth, they would be metame, because of gzerat hakatuf, even though the skin may be considered to be a hide. Rashi Enkin, the choled and the achbar and the tzav that are mentioned in the opening pasuk, which are liminehu, they're not included, and they do not give off tuma, and so on. Fine. But you don't have to know what they would hold the Gabi Shabbos. Maybe Afila Rabbanan made it. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Any Shabbos will pligi, they certainly do. V'atanya hatzadech habishmona shvatzim amurim b'torah hachovel behem. So if you either trap or you bruise one of the shmona shvatzim, chayav divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now here we find the machlokes is benogea Shabbos specifically. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the one who holds you would be chayev, and the chachamim say, no, not true. Ein or, we do not consider the skin of the shratzim to have skin unless they were the ones that were actually mentioned by the chachamim in the Mishnah in Chulin, which is absolutely ridiculous because the ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah are listed as the ones that do not have skin because those are the ones that are metame kibasar. And obviously they have membranes as opposed to hide. So it's the statement as it stands is absurd. Something's wrong with the statement in the Braita. We must have misquoted the Braita. And indeed, the Gemara, before dealing with the obvious point, which is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim here are arguing not Legabe Tuma, but are arguing Legabe the Dinam of Shabbos, and therefore Rab is completely wrong in saying that, no, it can go according to the Rabbanan. It obviously can't go according to the Rabbanan. But first, we need to clarify what we mean in this Braita, because ask the Gemara, what? Adarab, which is the opposite. The things that were mentioned by the Chachamim are the things that do not have a hide. They only have a membrane. And that's why it says over there in the Mishnah that because of that, it would be metame like basar. I assume the Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, well, in order to understand the Braita, we have to say, it means ein or chaluk bi basar elo lamash shalom anu chachamim. Obviously, so we got messed up over here. The idea that the words ein or chaluk mi basar is not really important in what Abaya is saying, but it's just there to make it clear to you. The main point is that it's changing from what is listed to say what is not listed. So to say that you have an or that's different from the basar is the ones that the Chachamim are not listing in the Mishnah. They're listed, in other words, the Chola, the Achmar, the Tzav, the Tinshamet, the ones that are listed, which is the Anakah and the Koach and the Lita'ah and the Chomet, those are the things where it's like Basar, and therefore it's thin flesh. But anyway, it appears that the Machlokas of Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim is very, very specifically Nogea Shabbos here. And therefore, how does Rav get away with saying that no, our Mishnah doesn't have to get involved in the Machlokas in Chulin? Armale Rav, first of all, Rava says, how can you explain that that's the Lashon of the Mishnah? You know, this is Rava, of course, classic Rava. Rava always says, yeah, that's a beautiful explanation, except for the unfortunate fact that it's the opposite of what it says. You know, so Rava always has that response. So Rava says, yeah, that's a great pshat, except for the fact, it's exactly the opposite of what the Braita says. It's very cute to just change it to fit the way you'd like it to be, but how about if we face the facts? All right, so therefore, I'm going to reinterpret it in a way that allows it to make perfectly good sense according to Rav also. Elama Rav Achikama. Ein or metamik basar ela lamashe manu chachomi. The din that or is metame like basar is only those shratzim that are listed by the Mishnah, the Rabbanan, in the Mishnah in Chulin. In other words, according to Rav, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is basically saying all of the Shmona Shratzim have these thick skins. And as far as Tuma is concerned, even though they have thick skins, there's a Pusik. The Pusik says Atmeim. And the Rabbanan say, actually, the only ones that are different are the ones that we are Medayik in the Pusik. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not Medayik the Pusik of Ela, as opposed to the others. So according to this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan are only arguing about the Pasuk. And this is mentioned as a separate issue, but in Achinami, we're not arguing, it wouldn't be Nogea Shabbos. How does Rabbi fit that in? I understand. Are you trying to tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that the things, the lo manu chachomi, even the ones that are not considered, that those are also Hanach nami de lo manu chachomi, they're also metame? V'akatani shmona shratzim yesh lehem orot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the one who says they do have skin. What does do have skin mean, for heaven's sakes, Rabbi, in terms of the dinim of nevela? If they have skin, it means they're not metame, not that they are metame. Omri v'ada bar masna, you have to explain the braisa like this. Chachomim omrim. The chachomim say back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Le'inyan tum'ah ein or l'masha manu chachomi. It was only talking about tuma, and we switched directions. In Ogea tuma, there's a difference, but they weren't arguing about Shabbos. Ah, come on. Akati le'inyan Shabbat lo plige. It's a beferish of Braita. It says in the Braita, Hatzad echa mishmona shratzim amura b'tara achoivo behem chayav bishratzim sheyesh lehem orot. Only in those shratzim that do have a hide, okay? That means that some of the shratzim do have hides and some of the shratzim don't have hides. And that's Benogea Shabbos. So don't tell me that when it comes to Shabbos, everybody agrees to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because then why does it say only the ones that do have hides? That machlokas is exactly the machlokas in Chulin, and Rav's trying to say, well, that has nothing to do with each other. And here it says, Beferish, Hachovo behem, only Bishratim Shesh Lema Orot. So obviously, it's not true what Rav is saying. And by the way, the Braita also continues to say, what's the sheer ezui chabura she'eno chozer? What's considered to be a permanent chabura that is chayavan nitzrar hadam ava bishlo yatsa? We're talking about is a bruise where there is blood that's out of the circulatory system. It's now all in one place collected under the skin, which is what causes the dark coloration under the skin. And even if it doesn't break through the skin, it's considered to be a chabura. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, continues the Braisa Omer, all shmona shratzim yesh lehem orot. Okay, so here we have a Tana, which is obviously the chachomi that are arguing Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and they say that the din of chabura on Shabbos is only the ones that do have hides. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in that context, say, no, they all have hides. What are you trying to tell me, that there's no machlokas benugei Shabbos between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan? That's mad. I mean, because what Rav was saying is that the machlokas benugei tuma is a machlokes about how to understand the gezerat hakatuv, and has nothing to do with the thickness of the skin. It's simply a question: was it listed in the first pasuk or was it listed in the second pasuk? So the ones that are listed in the second pasuk, those are the ones that the Torah is saying elah tameim lachem anyway. Answers the Gemara: you're assuming that the machlokes over here is between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim, and that's why you're upset at Rav, who's trying to claim that it has nothing to do with the machlokas and Shabbos. But what if I point out to you that there's a third shita, and that third shita is Rav Yehuda's shita? Rav Yehuda says, look, I don't care about your drosha. I don't base the issue on the drosha, because I hold that the lita'a has exactly the same din as the chuldah. The chuldah, the cholad being the first one in the pasuk. And he says that even, in other words, I don't say that the Hatmeim and the Ela separates the two psukim. I simply say, use your brains and use the data that you can see, okay? Analyze it. If there is a skin, the Torah says only basar, if there's a hide. This is not basar. Nobody eats this. If there's a membrane that people will fry and eat, so then that's basar. It's all very simple. So it goes according to gishta. It goes according to the actual feel, the thickness of that hide. We know that that's what he learns, because he says, look, you could forget about what's in what pasuk. The lita'a is the same din as the chulda, and its skin is too thick to be metame. But according to the Rabbanan, Rav could be absolutely correct. The Rabbanan only argued in Ogea the question of how to understand the pasuk of Elah HaTmeim, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees about. And as far as the question of Tuma is concerned, yes, there's a pasuk, but in Shabbos, they all certainly have enough of a skin to be able to hold a bruise in under the skin, and therefore you're chayim. Wait, there's a problem with this. I mean, it's smart, but there's a problem. Because the problem is when you say Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, what's my conclusion when I hear those words in the Braita? Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That all of those who argued on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who are primarily who? The Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were the main shita that was chaylik on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and chulin. And you're saying Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Does that not mean to any normal person Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as opposed to those who argue with him, namely the Chachamim, not Rabbi Yehuda, just Rabbi Yehuda, you should have said Divrei Rabbi Yochanan and Machlokuto, that even the Rabbanan who are chaylik on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agree in this case, and it doesn't say that. It just says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, fine, so change that, okay? Today, read in the Braita, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Machlokuto. That doesn't bother me so much. I mean, sometimes that gets dropped. Now, we're assuming, though, that the entire idea over here is that you need to have, as you do in all of the malachas, some level of permanence, even though, I mean, if you create a reddening, even if it will be reabsorbed, for instance, you know, you just run your finger over your skin. It'll produce a reddening, but that's not a bruise. So, I mean, how do we know that that is not considered to be a bruise also? Maybe reddening is sufficient to be called a chavalah. The next, I have to warn all of the children in the room, the next sugya is politically incorrect, and you may risk your life in the current political climate for reading the next sugya, because it actually mentions black people, and that's very dangerous. There are no such thing, as you know, as black people, or there are only such things as black people. It's more like it. In any event, the pasuk says, so b'minei levi mi rabbi, how do we know that a chabura is eino chozeret? Well, we know this because, as the Navi points out, hayahafoch kushi oro, will a black man be able to change his skin? Chas v'shalom, he should want to change his skin. That's not the point, you know. But what it means is that he cannot change his skin. And can a leopard change its spots? So, v'namer chavar burutav. Now, that lotion chavar burutav. Okay, what is that? What are those chavar burut? What is that? Are you talking about the spots? So, it's saying a leopard cannot change its colors? Is that the point? So, namer chavar burutav. it's not really spots. I mean, it's like these patches that are different colors. And then why does it say Chabar Borot? Why doesn't it say it that the Namer, Vinamer, Givanav? You won't be able to change its colors. So it's not a reference to a leopard. You're learning this wrong. It's all one word. Can a Cushi change his skin? And can he be Vinamer? Can he switch, a lotion of Tmura? Can he switch his coloration? That's the point. So therefore, what it's coming to tell me is like this, that the din of the Chabar Baroda, Chabura, has to be like the skin of a Cushi. Ma oro Cushi in a Chuzeret, av Chabura in a Chuzeret. That means it's not a reversible process. Now, the Mishnah says that other Shkatzim v'remashim, you would be potter if you will make a Chabura. Okay, but what about if you would actually take out the blood? Remember, the whole point of the Chabura is that you're being sorer the dam inside the body, under the skin, and that is the Chiddush, even though the Goldsteins seem to be falling asleep. That is, no? Okay, sorry. That is the Chiddush of a Chabura. But it's obvious that if you actually make a hole in the skin, you take out dam, that you would be chayev for, which means that if you kill them or take out blood, you would be chayev. Is that true according to everyone? Who is the man, the Omar, who holds this? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's going according to Rabbi Eliezer only, because it says in the Braita, Rabbi Eliezer Omer HaHorei Kina B'Shabbat, HaHorei Gamal B'Shabbat. We discussed this earlier, that when it comes to Netilat Neshama, you are not allowed to kill even something that is so small that we do not, now at this point, we're assuming that we do not, it's so small, we do not have anything that would resemble the internal structure, such as bones, it could have only an exoskeleton, and such as the normal types of interrelationships of Yidim and Boser, it does not seem to have that. And what it seems to be saying is that our Mishnah is going only according to Rabbi Eliezer, because it says shratzim, which would include, you know, a type of spider that has an exoskeleton, you would be pateran. That's what he's the only one who says. No, even if you kill a bug, it would be like killing a camel. But everybody else would hold not. Matkifla Rabbi Yosef, excuse me, that is not the basis of the machloket. It has nothing to do with exoskeletons or the type of body structure that the other organisms have. It has to do with the size. Well, I think he's talking about a kina, because there are lice that feed on lice, as you recall the old poem. And the idea over there is that it gets to the point where the reproduction of that louse is not visible. So we will not see any eggs. All we see is all of a sudden these bugs start appearing on your skin, right? No idea where they appeared from. Now, obviously, this cannot be referring to a normal louse where we see the hair louse, let's say. We could very clearly see the eggs, and that would be considered to be reproductive. But where you don't see eggs, remember that the definition of pirayon in terms of the halacha is a visible process of reproduction. But where things seem to appear out of nowhere, for all intents and purposes, we call them to be not paravarava. And therefore, the way to understand, says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer, is not that he's talking about exoskeletons, but rather he's talking about the question of whether it reproduces visibly or not. And Ankan lo pligi rabbanan le the Rabbi Eliezer, the only machlokes that we're talking about over here is a very tiny bug the size of a kina, not our kina, but something smaller, the ina paravarava, avoshar shkatzim v'remashim, which we can see that they have eggs. Over there, they wouldn't disagree. They would agree that you're considered to be chayev. And where does all of this discussion comes from? The Mishkan, of course. And what part of the Mishkan? The skins that were needed to be put on top of the Iriota Mishkan that were underneath. And therefore, the entire structure of the Masechet has been following exactly that structure of the Mishkan, talking about the Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, and Hotzah, which is the essence of the Mishkan, moving on to the ideas of the writing on the Krashim, the making of the Yiriot and HaOreg, and now the sewing of the Yiriot, moving on to the trapping, which was necessary and the shechita that was necessary, which is, of course, the chavala, so that seder goes together with chavala, and that really fixes the entire structure. Now, it also indicates, I don't know why the Rishonim don't pick up on this structure, but it seems to be so clear that there's no way to argue with it. And it would also obviate those who tain it, that the issue over here of chavala would be in terms of dying, do not seem to be correct either, because the only reason we would be bringing in chavala would be because of shechita and netilat neshama, if we're following the Seder of the Mishkan. So in any event, all of them agree that the mucker to this is the Mishkan, and it would be from the Orot Elim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, the idea of shechita, or taking the life of something, is learnt out from the Elim. Now, obviously, if you have to take off the skin of these Elim, then it involves you're killing them. You're going to be taking away their life. Netilat neshama. So the point is, if something is living, that's all that concerns me, and that's netilat neshama. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that there's a difference between reproducing life and life that simply emerges in the world without needing to engage in any evident process of reproduction. And therefore, we don't view that life as being part of the game of life. And because of that, there would be no chiyuv on killing it, because it would just be like putting it back in its invisible state before. So, afko depara varava. Omar le Abaye, how can you say that these kinim do not reproduce sexually? Because Amar, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember that we say, and we had in Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev, is Zan, Mi Karnei Reimim, from the largest thing in the world, which are the Reimim, the horns of the Reimim. My God, that was the Gemara discusses as being this mythical thing. All the way down to Beitzei Kinim, Beitzei Kinim seem to refer to the eggs, or the newly hatched eggs of Kinim. So obviously it's referring to them as reproducing. No, Beitzei Kinim is a type of lice. That's all. It's a minohu, the mikre Beitzei Kinim. It doesn't mean all lice have Beitzim. What about the other price? It talks about Tefuye, Ubeitzei Kinim. What about that? No. That's also minohu, the mikre Beitzei Kinim. Okay. Ask the Gemara, well, what about fleas? Fleas obviously reproduce. And Tanya, Hatzat par osh b'shabbat, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. So we see over here that even though something which definitely does reproduce, it becomes all question, what exactly are we referring to? The flea, is that, does that noticeably reproductive? There's a whole Tosfos that discusses how exactly we're supposed to understand the par osh. But in any event, it says over there that Rabbi Yeshua potters, and it means even though it reproduces, he potters. So it seems to be a question of the body structure and not a question of reproduction. Omer of Ashi, what are you talking about over there, please? We've been talking about killing something, and you're trying to bring me a riot from trapping something. What does trapping something have to do with killing something? Seida harigakar anita. What, this is a contradiction? Two separate issues. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were only being chaylik over here about the question that we had earlier. Adover she'ein b'mino nitzot. Fine, so Rabbi Eliezer holds, even though it's not something that you normally would trap, you're still considered to be chayiv. Umar sovar patur, but who says that they're arguing about killing? Maybe le'inyan hariga, it could be that even Rabbi Yeshua is made that since it reproduces, then it, of course it's not killing a camel. The whole point that Rabbi Eliezer was making is that something that is so small that its reproduction is invisible is also like a camel. That was the machlokas, and only that. And then it says, if you trap them because you need them, so then you're chayef. So who would be the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yonamara, well, it would only be according to Rabbi Shimon, because he's the one who says, if you don't need them, so then you're potter. But according to the din of Rabbi Yehuda, what's the difference whether you need them or not? I mean, if you trap them, then it should be a malacha shen trigal gufa, but you would still be chayev. Some learn that discussion is nogea the Mishnah in idios. Ameif is mur sabi shabbat. And this gets back to what we spoke about earlier, the closing of the previous parak, which, as I've pointed out, so often introduces the sugya of the next parak. So over there it says an idiot, im la sot la pez, we just quoted on a manalev. So if you want to make an opening to allow the boil to drain, so then you would be chayav. If all you want to do is get out pus or lymphatic fluid, so then you would be potter. And there was the conversation. Who is the Tana of this Mishnah? And Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rava saying, it's only going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon, because he holds a malacha shein tzricha legufa, your potter. And since over here, it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, because you don't need the actual hole, you just need to get the pus out. So because of that, you're potter on the asiyah of the petah. Some actually say that it's referring to another Mishnah in Idiot, which is the other thing that we quoted on Amud Aleph, and that is trapping a nachash on Shabbat. Im itasek bar shelo yishchenu, so then you're potter. If you want the snake in order to get medication out of it, so then you'd be chayev. And there we asked, this version, there we asked, Mantana, and it was there that Rabbi Yonamarav said, this is going to leave the Rabbi Shimon, that in trapping the snake in only in order to have it not bite you, that's not called the malacha tichla gufa, where over there we're trying to trap the thing because we need the thing. And because of that, you were put. Omar Shmuel, what about when it comes to fish? If you're sholed dag min hayam, you pull that fish out of the water, well, it doesn't die right away. So would you be chayev? I mean, suppose you take it out of the water, you throw it back into the water. So you never killed the fish, right? But the din is that given she'avash po kisela, once you've got a spot that has become dried out on the surface of the fish, the size of a sela, you would be chayev because of nitilat neshama, because for all intents and purposes, it's kaput. And even if you would be throwing it back while it still seems to be flopping, it would still be chayev. But you're not going to be chayev the moment that you trap it. Okay, so that seems to be, we're not talking about sod over here. Could be it's talking about the fish that you didn't take out of the sea, took it out of a bucket because it was already trapped before. And anyway, the question over here is, what do we mean by a sela? Omer Rav Yezir bar Avin, that's not anywhere on the fish's body. That's around the gills, between the snapirin. Once that's dried out, it cannot save its life any longer. And Omer Rav Ashi, when it says dried out, doesn't mean literally dried out. The moment that that becomes mucousy, it's too dry to be able to transfer oxygen. And at that point, it's going to be dying very soon. So we view it as if you're already chayev. Omar Mabar Amduri Omar Shmuel, Hoshit Yadol Lime'e Behima, Vidildel Ubar Shebime'eha, you're also chayev. If you put your hand into a womb of a mammal and you take out the embryo by disconnecting it from the sides of the uterus, you would be chayev. And tomorrow we will get into the makor of this chiyuv, whether it's part of netilat neshama or we have a different understanding of it. It gets a little bit complex, so we'll close here. And whew, that was a long one. Okay, but I think we've got, Baruch Hashem, the main issues clear, both in the sugya in Chulin, about the three bay machlokas legabe tuma, whether there's exeris hakosev, that some skin is metame, Dafkan Trotzim, Tommy Tumas and the Veles, nothing else but those particular Shrotzim that are mentioned. If it's Nogea the Pusik, then it's the five Shrotzim that are mentioned in the second Pusik. Or if it's Nogea the particular Gishta of the skin, then it depends on the individual Sheretz. It has nothing to do with where it's mentioned. And the relationship of that Sogia to here in Shabbat, which Rav claims is not really related to Shabbat, unless you hold like Rav Yehuda, which does have to do with Gishta. We went through all of the issues where we're matir, even lechatchila, in cases, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's a malach shein tzricha legufa, which is normally potter, according to him, but still it's not mutter, where we were actually matir it because of the pain that somebody's going through or because of the avoidance of pain. So we had the case of preventing something from biting you, or of opening up the skin in order to take out a blister, or in order to let pus out. That was the closing of the previous parak, and we also mentioned it over here as well, which got us back at the Shmuel about Potter, of an even Potter Umutter, which began with Hatzot Svi, remarkably, taking us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechet and the Din of Potter in the Mishnah.